think on the one hand with a great deal of affection. I can remember the excitement, you know, when his election was taking place, and the idea that you had a pope who went skiing on his holidays and mountain climbing and whatever else, you know, it seemed like a really normal person. And so I think a lot of people of my generation will remember him for that. We will remember this kind of handsome, affable, you know, everybody's what would I call him, I suppose, friendly relation kind of person, and very human. I think he'll mostly be remembered for that. I suppose secondly then, you know, we can't separate out either the suffering that he has obviously undergone in the last few years, the physical and obviously the mental anguish with the various problems in the church, not the least and the most recent being the scandals of the sexual abuse in church all over the world. And I feel it's a real pity for him to have had to deal with that at the end of a long and a very fruitful pontificate, isn't that the word? And I think that the pain of that is there for us all to see now. But I mean, I'm hoping that in the long run, we won't just remember that. We'll look back to the skier and the mountain climber.
How would you think he was intending to, you know, make changes himself in the church? I mean, what changes do you think he would have liked to have seen, both in the church and in the way the church interacts with the rest of the world?
Well, I think at the level of ecumenism, he made enormous impact, I would say. Obviously enormous effort, but also enormous impact, some of it more successful than others. And always bearing in mind, I suppose, that it's a very delicate balance in church involvement and political facts, you know, political relationships, what happens and what changes. But I do feel that that might be an area where, in the area of Jewish-Christian relations, for example, and then in the Eastern Church and the Roman Church and so on. So I think, yes, he consistently made efforts there, and he would like to have seen a coming together more than there has been. I think people will look back and say, for whatever reasons, it hasn't been a very successful era in terms of ecumenism, and yet he did put the effort in. Now, I suppose at another level, I think that within the church, the relationships within the church, he would try, has seemed to me to have tried to move along in terms of involvement of the laity. On the one hand, it seems that he has been a great proponent of the participation of the laity at every level. And yet here again, I mean, there are wonderful developments, the whole notion of the church as a communion. Based on the, I suppose in one way, the scripture, abide in me as I abide in you. That notion that we are at that level of it's what our baptism does, I suppose, that in some sense we are living in and with one another as church. And of course the implications for that are enormous for the relationships within the church, as well as for the relationships of the church to the wider world. I mean, in that sense there can be no inner circle. You know, there's a fundamental equality. If what we're celebrating as Christian is the life of Christ in all of us, and that life of the Spirit relating one to the other, that is the starting point. So therefore, you know, it brings up, I think anyway, there will be questions around how hierarchy is operative, and the very notion of it in many ways. Now I understand that we have to have authority, and you know, we do need to have people who are responsible, but it's how that authority and responsibility are exercised, I think, will be big questions for the future. And this Pope, having begun the discussion in terms of, or I should say developed it in terms of the church's communion, you know, it does mean that, you know, the church is our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is those who are baptized, whether or not those people match my version of who the members of the church are. So therefore, for example, you know, the notion that you know, the youth, for example, young people are, you know, objects of ministry, I think is something that must be taken out completely. Or the whole notion of gay and lesbian Christians as objects for pastoral concern and care. No, you know, people, these people included as everybody else, are subjects active in and for the church, and we must, you know, we must find ways to bring that more to the fore and into being. And I think this Pope has begun very well for us in some of the more recent documents, particularly the one at the Millennium there, where he developed it greatly. But he also talks about, for example, the Petrine ministry, the papacy, the episcopacy, the bishops, the whole structures of the church as being in the service of that communion. Now, you can have to ask the question again, well, if it really is communion, if we are all at this fundamental level sharing in this wonderful sense of way of being, how can it truly serve the communion when half that communion is automatically excluded from taking part? So there are lots of questions I think that will be opening out. I think it's going to be a very exciting time to be in there. I find this already so, but I think it will be a very exciting time when they do begin to take out and look in more detail at different things that that Pope John Paul II has begun with, if you like.